Daniel chapter 1, we saw here in verse 1 that Babylon has besieged Israel. And I want you to understand what Babylon is. And you may already know this, some of you, but Babylon represents the world and its wickedness, okay? And it is seen as the religious center of corruption. Israel was in Babylon. This is what you need to understand. Israel was in Babylon, but they were not Babylonians. I hope you're getting that this morning. Israel was in Babylon, but they were not Babylonians. We as the church, if you are a born-again believer this morning, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. It is not of this earth. That's why it does not matter to me whether it's Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. This is not my world. This is not my world. My citizenship is of heaven. And I'm going to tell you right now, everything that God is allowing is to bring everything to His coming. So whatever you have, God, whoever is in office, Lord, let it be, God. So I want to see Jesus. How many is ready for His coming? How many want to hear the trumpet of Zion sound this morning? I want to see Jesus. And that's why I'm telling you, that's why I am, Lord, that's why I follow Him with all my heart, because He showed me a love that no other has shown me. Nobody's forgiven me the way He's forgiven me. Nobody's done what He has done for my life. And so I want to see Him and I want to be with Him forever. Amen? Amen. So Babylon has taken hold of Israel. And I want you to understand what the word Babylon means. It means confusion. It means confusion. And how many of you would agree with me that there's a lot of confusion in the world? And what does the Bible say that God is not the author of? He's not the author of confusion. So what is going on in the world is of an antichrist spirit. That whole woke agenda is driven by an antichrist spirit, for it opposes everything of Jesus Christ. It opposes Him. So let's look in verses 3-5 here. And it says, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So let's stop right there. So who did they take in? Who was Babylon going after? They went after the children. They went after the nobles and the king's descendants. Sounds like a good way. Sounds like a good way of indoctrinating Israel with its beliefs, with its false idols, with its sensual pleasures. All these things they're wanting to put into these people. And I think you see here it starts with children. And they took them away. See, they took them out of Israel and brought them into the, right there in the king's palace. They took them away from their family, from their home, from their country, and anything that might have given them security. He brought them away from all of that. And I can promise you, Satan wants to pull you out of the church. He wants to pull you into this place where he can pollute your mind, where he can teach you. These young men, according to biblical scholars, were around the late teens to early 20s because they were going after the young. They were going after the young people. And listen to this. And they attempted to brainwash them by teaching them their language and literature. Think about that now. Children, teaching them their language and literature. And I want you to look at the state of where our country is. And I want you to understand everything about what God is revealing to us right here is very current. In our schools, what are they teaching our children in the public school system? They're teaching them gender identity. They're teaching them that you can't speak the name of Jesus. They're taking away all these things from our kids, and they're trying to indoctrinate them with this antichrist spirit, this woke agenda. And you parents need to be aware of this. And I'm not saying that our kids can't be in a public school, but what I'm saying to you as parents is that it is so vitally important that you teach your kids at home the things of God, the ways of God. And not that you just teach them, but you live it out before them. Because you can talk about it all you want, but it has to be a lifestyle that says Jesus really lives in me. Because plenty of people talk about Jesus, but very few have Jesus on the inside. They know a lot about Jesus, but he's not on the inside. See, I can tell you all about Michael Jordan, but he doesn't know who I am. I can tell you where he was born, all of his stats, because I loved watching him as a child. I loved watching him. I knew so much about him, but he didn't know a thing about me. There was no relationship there. No relationship. And a lot of people, even within the church, know a lot about Jesus, but they don't have a relationship. They don't have a relationship. And so it is important. You moms and dads, you need to be praying in your homes. One of the greatest things my grandfather did, I was raised by my grandparents, and I'm so thankful that they were my mom and dad. I didn't lack anything. I was loved. I had everything that I had need of. But every night, my grandfather would be in that prayer room, and I'd for 45 minutes to an hour plus sometimes. And he would be in there, and sometimes as a young boy, I would go and sit outside of his door thinking, how in the world can you be in there for so long talking to nobody? You know, I mean, for real, as a kid, you don't fully understand all those things. But what is he in there talking to Jesus about? And I'd hear the people he'd be praying for and crying over, because the love of God was inside him. The Spirit of God was compelling him to pray, but he was impacting my life, and I didn't even realize how much it was impacting me. But that verse in the Bible that says, train up your children the way that they should go, and when they're older, they shall not depart from it. Let me tell you, it's the truest thing ever. Because when I got in that fire department, circumstances of life hit me. Things in life were hitting me. And I felt lonely. And I turned away from God for a number of years. 3 to 4 years in my life. And it was the hardest years of my life. I was without God. But everything my parents had put in me, I never could get away from that. I could never forget listening to my grandfather pray for me, weep over me. When I was in a backslidden condition, he did not condemn me. He prayed for me. He prayed for me. And all the example he was being, even as I was older, to me as his son. Parents, you have the greatest influence. You are the greatest influence on your children. Don't let the world influence your children. You influence them with the love of Jesus Christ. Embrace them with his forgiveness. Embrace them with his mercy and his love. And let your home be full of love and joy and peace and laughter. And I'm telling you, watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. And your children won't be pushed away from Jesus. Or they'll be drawn to him by his love. By his love. But see, they're going after our children. They're going, they want to brainwash them. I'm telling you people, the agenda is to brainwash our kids, because if they can get the young ones, they've got the future. That's right. And we have to protect our kids. And let me say this, all these things that we have to, I'm going to be very detailed this morning, and I'm not here to offend anybody. I'm here because I love you, and anything I'm telling you this morning, I'm telling you because I know that it's true, and it comes from a heart of love. But these things that we sometimes carelessly let our kids watch, YouTube, and all these things on social media, don't let that teach your kids. Amen. Don't let that teach your kids. It'll destroy them. It'll put things in them. There'll be stumbling blocks in their lives that they never had to get over if you would prevent those things. There's no perfect parent. There's things that I miss. We all miss. And every parent, when their kids get older, every parent has always said, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd done that. God's not expecting perfection from us. And you know what? Where we come short, if we truly love God and we walk with God, he cleans up our mess, because that's the kind of father he is. He loves us. He cares for us, and he wants the best for us. And it says in verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them. Listen to that, 3 years of training, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. And I want you to understand, Satan wants you to serve him. Satan is out to, for 3 years they train these men. to walk in the ways of Babylon so that they might serve their king. And let me tell you, Satan uses people just like God uses people. And if we're not careful, even as Christians, Satan will use us. If we're not careful, if we don't guard our hearts, and if we're not humble before the Lord and allow God to convict us of the things in our life that we need to be willing to let him convict us of. But see, for 3 years, that they might serve the king of Babylon. That's what Satan is after. Our kids, he's after our nobles, he's after the church. He wants to pull us out of the church, and he wants to, for years, begin to pour in his things, his ways into us, and to pull us away from God, that we might become a part of his kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. So look what's, we know what's happening in our country. We're very aware of the public school system and that they're trying to brainwash our children to walk in the ways of darkness. But I want you to know, it didn't just happen since Biden or even Obama came into office. It started a long time ago. It's gradual. Satan's subtle. He doesn't come and just pop up right here in your face. No, he's very subtle. And so if we go back to when the Supreme Court deemed prayer unconstitutional in 1962 and 1963 made Bible reading unconstitutional. If you go back to this time, prior to that, this ruling in the 18th and the 19th and the early 20th centuries, it was a common practice for public schools to open with an oral prayer and Bible reading. Think about that now. All the way up to this point, 1962, the government said it's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional to pray or read the Bible in the school setting. That was a good little while ago, wasn't it? And now, look at our schools. How many shootings are you hearing about on the news? Do you, is that just because of, you know, our things are just changing? No. It's because there's an agenda that comes through our Antichrist spirit that is out for our kids. Because how many know what Satan is? He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want you to understand that the Babylon, what do you think might have been the animal that represented the Babylon king or the Babylonian king? It was a lion. And I want you to think about that. Your adversary is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I find it very, that's not by chance that that animal represented this kingdom. You think about that. And I want to say this much about America. Why do people want to come to America? Is it because of our Christian heritage? No. It has nothing to do with our Christian heritage. It has to do with materialism. The American dream is why so many people want to come here. That's why people want to come to America. I want the American dream. I want riches. I want nice houses, nice cars. I want a fat bank account. I want power. I want all these other things. That's why people want to come to America. Oh, that it would be for our Christian heritage. That is a thing that has greatly disappeared over a period of time. But how many know there's a remnant? There is a remnant. You know, sometimes we can be discouraged, feel like Elijah, right? Lord, I am left here. I'm alone. How many Christians have ever felt alone? Have any of you ever felt alone as a believer? Everybody. Anybody that's a true Christian, you would have felt alone at some point. But then what did God tell Elijah? There's 7,000 others that haven't bowed the knee. There's 7,000 others. And I'm going to tell you what. You know what encourages this pastor? It's seeing the kingdom of God grow. It's not about Oxano Church. It's not about AIM Church. It's not about the name of a church. It's about the kingdom of God growing. Because people are getting saved. People's lives are being changed. And they are becoming a light in this world. They're being salt to the earth. And I'm going to tell you what. There's hope. And I'm going to tell you what. Every time you come in this place, look around. And you know what you should desire to do is to see more people in this house. My desire is, God, you fill this house. Because why? Because that means your kingdom is growing. That means people are being saved, lives are being changed, and that there's hope for America and there's hope for the world. There's hope, people. There's hope. I'm going to say this carefully. The church is more, has become, this is not all churches. I'm talking about the church as a whole has become more entertainment and event driven and program driven than Bible and prayer driven. Fellowship is vital to the church. What you're doing tonight is wonderful. Fellowship is important. It talks about that throughout the Bible. I'm not talking about fellowship. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about turning the place of God into a place of entertainment. This is not a house of entertainment. What did Jesus say? My house should be called what? A house of prayer. It must be a house of prayer. The church as a whole has turned to entertainment to keep people there rather than the love and presence of God. Is that not true? The substitute for joy is entertainment. And a lot of our churches, because they don't have the real joy and presence of God, they've had to fill it with other things. Man, let the drawing of people be the love of God, His presence in His place. Let that be what draws people in. Because I'm telling you, if anything else draws them in, it's not going to have any kind of eternal effect. It might temporarily do something, but at the end, there's not going to be an eternal change in those people. And they'll walk back to their old life because they didn't find what they thought they were going to find in the church. It must be His presence. It's all about Jesus. He must be glorified, and nothing about man should be glorified. Yes. Nothing about us. And I want to look here at verse 5 again, and it says, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank. And I want to tell you, I want to show you what that wine which he drank. And if you would, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51, and we're going to come right back to Daniel chapter 1. But I want you to understand what this wine is. I want you to really understand it, because there's much more behind it than it just being wine. There's much more behind it. Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 6 through 7. This is what the prophet is saying. Flee from the midst of Babylon. Flee from it. Get away from it. And everyone save his life. Get away from it. Get away from that Antichrist spirit. Get away from that woke agenda, people. Get away from it. Do not be cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon, listen to this, was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. This is the wine. This is the king's wine. This is what you need to see here. It was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. Think about that. This is the meaning as well. Webster's definition of Babylon: a city devoted to materialism and sensual pleasure. Think about that. And think about our American culture. What is everything about this woke agenda? Think about it. It is tied up in materialism and sensual pleasure. And it's evil. And it's wicked. And it's out to destroy our lives. There's a reason why in those who are in homosexual relationships or have had or transformed themselves from a male to a female or vice versa, that the suicide rates go up higher. So let me tell you what the government's saying is, we condone people's suicide. That's what your government's saying. We support that. We stand behind that. And God's like, oh, I want to save these people. I want to take that way of living and thinking out of them, and I want to put in a new heart in them, a new spirit, a new mind, A new character. That's what God wants to do for them. Because I want you to know, God doesn't write anybody off, people. I don't care if a trans walks through that door. You to embrace them with the love of God, the grace of God. Well, that's what we're to do as a church. How else shall they be saved? How else will they be saved? America has become drunk from this cup of wine. And I believe America is possibly a modern day Babylon. For the materials, sensual pleasures, I can have everything I want in America. I just need to get there. 2 Timothy 3 verse 4 says this, and most of you know it. In the last days, people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and from such people turn away. Is our culture not a culture of pleasure? We're all about our pleasure. We've become a selfish culture. And it's a culture that's so fast that we don't have time for others anymore. So often I'd love to go back to the days of my childhood when everybody knew everybody. And people actually communicated with one another. And there was love. Come on, does anybody remember that? Our culture used to be so different. Our nation used to be so different. And oh, how I miss that. I miss that simple way of life. But our culture has become so fast-paced. You know, we'll just say, oh, here you go, brother. Here's some money. See you later. Hope that helps you. And really, not to say that we don't financially reach out to people, but you know what people need more than that? They need the love. They need you to take time for them. Because sometimes taking time for people is the greatest act of love. But our culture has sped things up so fast that we as a church have to understand that we need to make time to slow down. Slow down and get alone in God's presence. Slow down and love our neighbor. Think about that. How often we can get so caught up in the fast lane that we lose sight of people all around us and it just becomes about us. And Satan loves it. Because a church that's all about itself isn't going to impact the earth for anything. For God is selfless. And he didn't come here about anything to do with himself, but he came that people might be saved. Parents, what are your children listening to? What are you listening to? What are you watching in your home? What are you watching? What's on that television? What's being seen? What's being heard in your home? Taylor Swift, I'm going to read a few of her lyrics. She's a very popular person in our earth and has great influence, right? Some of you may even listen to her. I'm not condemning you. And I'm not here to condemn her. Matter of fact, imagine what would happen if Taylor Swift gave her life to Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that's God's desire, is to save that woman. He loves her. And he died on the cross for her just as much as he did anybody else, whether it's the bum on the street or if it's you and I. God loves us all the same. You know that? He does. But I want you to hear this. The smallest man who ever lived, I would have died for your sins instead. I just died inside. But Daddy, I love him. I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, sighing, what a mess. I just learned these people try and save you because they hate you. God save the most judgmental creeps for who say they want what's best for me, sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see, thinking it can change the beat of my heart when he touches me and counteract the chemistry and undo the destiny. You ain't got to pray for me. Me and my wild boy and all of this wild joy, if all you want is gray for me, then it's just white noise and it's just my choice. That's the influence upon our generation. That's the influence. And what I'm saying to anybody is get away from that. Don't let that affect your children. Don't let that affect you. Don't let it. Let's read verses 8 through 13 here. in Daniel chapter 1. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. If we plan to make it through the end times, and I believe that we are here, we must determine in our hearts that we will not defile or pollute ourselves with the things of this world, or it'll kill you. For that's what Satan's agenda is out to do. And that's what I'm trying to express to us right now. The church should not be seeing how close we can get to the world to influence the world. But we need to get as close as we can to Jesus, that world might be influenced to desire what we have in Christ Jesus. That too much of the church has been gravitating towards the world because we want to be relatable to the world. So we're going to get here as close as we can to this line without trying to step over into the world or into Babylon. And God is saying, get away from it. Save yourself. Get away from that unclean thing and draw near unto me. And let my life through you be the drawing factor of them coming out of that world. That is how people will see Jesus. That's how they will see Jesus. Daniel knew if they allowed the things of this world to get in them, that they would become Babylon. Do you understand that? If you allow the things of the world into you, you will become the world. Whatever you feed upon, that's what you will become. If you feed your flesh will live. If you feed the Spirit will live. For if you don't feed it, it dies, right? It will die. Feed the Spirit of God in you. Feed it in prayer. Feed it on the word. Feed it with fellowship with his saints. Feed it. And I'm going to read something to you. I want to challenge you to find good news. Search out good news. Because you won't find this kind of news that I'm about to read to you that just happened just here a couple of weeks ago. You won't find it on the headlines anywhere. People don't want you to hear about this. This is an NBA player whose name is A.J. Griffin. He was from Duke University. Had just signed a $17 million contract. But he gave his life to the Lord in 2020. But he gave it all up. And I want you to listen to this. He said, I gave up basketball to follow Jesus. I know that in a lot of people's eyes it seems like a loss. But I just want to let you guys know that I'm super excited because I truly get to serve God with my full yes. And I feel like letting go of basketball is allowing me to go into full-time ministry and truly serving the Lord with all my heart, with all my time too, as well. So I'm just so excited to see where he leads me. This all started when I gave my life to Christ in 2020. I truly accepted him back then and was the best decision of my life. This is an NBA player, $17 million contract. And I want to listen to this. I'm truly blessed to have had the NBA journey. To have that testimony saying that you can have all the riches in the world, but the only thing that truly matters is a relationship with Jesus. That's what I want to share with you guys today, to let you know that Jesus, he is the only one that can fulfill you. He is the only one that can give you purpose, and I feel like the Lord was calling me to let go of basketball to truly just serve him more. Is that not good news, church? God's still working. He's still changing people's lives. Nobody is going to hear about that on the headlines, though. They want you to hear about all the horrible things about what's going on in government, politics, and the wicked agenda of the woke government. That's what they want you to hear, the doom and gloom and all this negative, and they want to take all hope from us. But I can tell you what, people, there is a hope. Because we serve Jesus today, we have all the hope in the world. We have hope because God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not over, folks. What if God is setting up America for the greatest revival in its history? What if he's doing that, church? Because if we don't believe that he can do it, guess what? It won't happen. It won't happen, for it is by faith that we inherit the promises of God. It's by faith God comes into our lives and changes it. It's by faith in Christ alone. That is the answer. We must believe this morning. We must believe. Verses 15 through 20. It says, and at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, he was better. Their appearance was better than all the others. You know why people, I believe, hate the church so much? Because they envy the life that we have. And somehow, they are deceived to believe that somehow their way is better. But yet, looking at the church and the people of God and wanting what we have, yet they don't want to surrender. Because how many know the greatest God in your life will always be self, as far as the one that you're going to fight against? The God of self is the hardest God and idol we all have to deal with. Because guess what? Everybody wants to be in control of their own life. We want to be in the driver's seat, right? But you know what? When I was the captain in the fire department, I had to ride shotgun because the officer rides shotgun. And sometimes I end them guys, them sergeants that would be driving for me, I'd be like, whoa, slow down, Sarge, slow down now. Hold up. We go a little fast. Hey, this truck's leaning hard, Sarge. You know we got a lot of weight in this thing. Come on now. You know, get me on edge a little bit. How many can get on edge when you're not the one driving? And somebody over there is driving 100 miles an hour. You get a little uneasy, don't you? See, when you give your life to the Lord, you get out of the driver's seat and you get in the passenger seat. And you're saying, God, I trust you with my life. And wherever you take me, I'm willing to go. See, that's a born-again life. That's a surrendered life. But the God of self always wants to be in control. We want to be on the throne of our own lives. That is the battle. But we look at this, and their appearance was better than all the other men. Can I tell you, the Christian life, when you look at people who have truly given their life to the Lord and they walk in faith and they know who God is and they know what God's done in them and what he's continuing to do in them, those people who are not shaken by the trials and tribulations of life but know that Romans 8:28 is a real thing, that no matter what happens, it's working out for my good because I love the Lord. Come on, if you love God with all your heart, he said all things are working out together for your good. So why should we get upset? Why should we fear? Why should we worry? I'm not worried about who's going to be president. I'm not worried about it. I'm praying about it, but I'm not worried about it because my God is in control. He is sovereign. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He is. But I'm just telling you, folks, when you don't get the things of the world in you, how many of you ever looked at people and said, man, they look like they've lived a rough life? Or how many of you looked at people and said, man, they look like death? That's what the things of the world do to you. That's the delicacies of the king's meat and the cup of the wine. It'll destroy your life. It's meant to kill you. And that's why people look depressed, why they're controlled by fear and anxiety, why they're bound to addictions. All these things. And the Lord's saying, don't eat of that. Don't take that in. Let me be everything to you. Take me. Drink of my water, and you'll never thirst again. Eat of my bread, and you will not hunger. You won't hunger, you won't thirst, and your life will be full of love and joy and peace, and people will be going, what is it about your life? Why do you have it so good? Because I'm a child of God, and none of the things of this world are in me, but it's Christ in me that gives me this wonderful life I have. It's Him that gives me this life. It's Him who gives me this appearance. It's God. Why am I so joyful? Why do I have a wonderful marriage? Why do those firefighters say, what is it about your marriage? Because God had done it. He was the attraction. It wasn't me. He's the attraction all the time, church. Jesus is the attraction. Hallelujah. We love Him because He first loved us. That's the attraction. It's His love for us. And Paul said this one thing, if you could ever understand, is the height, the width, and the depth of the love of God. And he said, if you can understand that, you will be filled with all the fullness of God. And I want that fullness. And I'm telling you, church, there's nobody that will love you like Jesus Christ. And He wants to give you the best life. He wants to give you a life that's rich. You know what? I'm rich this morning. You know why? Because I'm in here with people who love God. I met some wonderful brothers in Christ the other day. The family of God is beautiful. I met men that I just instantly connected with. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. And you know what? You encouraged me. Maybe you felt like, oh, well, I love how you talked about men of God. No, you encouraged me. You were strength to me. You did. I met so many wonderful men. Al, Tony, Dale, Dan. I met these men. John. And just listening and I missed Matt. Well, I love Matt. And I'm telling you, but there were so many wonderful men in that room. Men that God is working in. Men that are in different places in their walk with Jesus. Some just getting started out and some been walking with Him for a long time. But guess what? There's no hierarchy. The laborer that came at the end of the day got the same reward as the one that came the first hour of the day. There's no respecter of persons in Christ Jesus. You're a believer or you're not a believer, but there's no hierarchy. God loves us all the same. He loves us all the same. And I'm just going to get ready to close here. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll read verses 11 through 17. And the first words out of Paul's mouth is, O Corinthians. And what I want you to understand, Paul's writing to the church here. When he says, O Corinthians, he's saying, O church. He's talking to the church. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Can I ask you, who has your affections? Who has your heart this morning, church? Who has your heart? For you cannot have two masters. For you will either love the one or you will hate the other. But God desires your heart this morning. He desires to give you that life that looks better than all those who are lost in this world, caught up in the things of this world. He's like, give me your life and I will make it beautiful. I'll take your broken marriage and I'll restore it. I'll break you of those addictions and set you free. God will do that if you let Him. But where are your affections at this morning? Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? People, he's not saying that we're not to reach out to sinners and to show them the love of Christ. But what he's saying is we can't be a part of what they're a part of. We are the church. We cannot defile ourselves with the things of this world. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. This is no place for worldly idols. This is a place for Christ Jesus to be glorified and for His name to be high lifted up, that when the lost people walk through the doors of this church, that they might be saved. That is what we are called to do. I will dwell, and God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Can we just stand this morning? D.L. Moody said this: Christ came to not save you in your sins, but to save you from your sin. He comes into that place of your sin and your brokenness, but he is pulling you out of that. Do not be deceived by the message of the church that you can still be the God of your own life and do what you want to do and believe that you're a born-again believer. For the Bible says you must come out from among that. For if you truly believe in God and his spirit comes into you, he's not going to leave you in sin. He's going to begin instantly sanctifying your life. And he's going to continue to change you and change you and change you and change you, because he loves you too much to leave you the same. Because he desires to give us abundant life. He wants that for you this morning. He wants that for you. Don't see how close you can get to the world, but see how close you can get to Jesus. Because the farther you get away from God, the less you can hear his voice, the less you can be encouraged, the weaker you grow. And next thing you know, you're crumbling. You're crumbling underneath that Antichrist spirit because you've pulled yourself so far away from God you no longer have strength. And maybe that's some of you this morning. Maybe you're a believer this morning that has been growing cold in your walk with God and you've been drawing closer to the world, but God is saying to you this morning, come to me. Give me your heart. Let me have every bit of your life. Don't withhold my blessings upon your life. Don't withhold me from breaking you free of addiction. Don't withhold me from changing your marriage. Don't withhold me. Don't withhold me from instilling you with peace that passes all understanding. Don't withhold me. Do you know it is God's joy to forgive you this morning? If there's things in your life, it is God's joy to forgive you. It's his joy to bestow forgiveness and mercy and grace upon your life. Because any good dad, when his children fails, or they're disrespectful, or they do something against them that wrongs them and offends them, hurts them, grieves them, all they want them to do is run back and say, oh, Dad, I'm sorry. And what are you going to do as a father? You're going to embrace them with your love. For you do not desire to hold a grudge against your own child. No good father desires to hold a grudge against his son or his daughter. How much more will God not? If your earthly father knows how to give you good things, how much more will your heavenly father do good things for you? Is there any in here this morning would say, I just need prayer? Is there anybody in here that says, I just need God to help me? I'm struggling. I'm worn against that spirit of the world that's trying to draw me out. Are you feeling drawn out this morning? Are you feeling pulled away from the heart of God? If you are, God's crying out to you to come running back to him. And he's ready with open arms to embrace you with his love, to pull you tight to his chest, and to restore everything into your life. He wants to do that for you this morning. He wants to do that for you. And when you allow him to do that, when you allow him to have his way in your life, he gives you the ability to stand before the fiery furnace and say, I don't know if he'll deliver me, but one thing I know, I'm willing to die for him because I know how much he loves me. They were in this world, but they were not of this world. And that's how God is glorified, when we love him with all of our heart. We're not defiled of the things of this world. He'll shut the mouths of lions, just as he did for Daniel. He will shut the mouths of lions. He will stop that work of Satan and the enemy that's coming against you. He will stop it. He won't allow the enemy to devour you. Just going to pray this morning. If you need prayer, these altars are open to you. If you just want a closer walk with God, maybe you're an unbeliever this morning, you need Jesus, I'm just going to pray. I'm not here to try to persuade you, but I am here to tell you Jesus is the best thing that you could ever choose in your life. He is the only thing worth laying down your life for. He is the only one that's worth giving all this morning. Father, I just thank you, Lord, this morning, God, for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, I thank you that it is alive, Lord God, that is in this room, Lord, that you're speaking to hearts, you're speaking into minds, Lord. And I know, God, Lord, you are here to encourage us, to strengthen us, to fortify us, to build us up in you, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone lost here tonight or this morning, God, you're crying out for their life, God. You're crying that they would come to you. Don't defile yourself with the cup of this world. Don't defile yourself with the king's meat, but come to me and watch what I will do with your life. I will do great things with your life. I will restore all things to your life. I will give you riches that the world can never give you. Don't withhold my blessing. Don't withhold my grace. Don't withhold it this morning. Don't withhold it. Oh, thank you, Lord, this morning for your word, God. Thank you that it is life to us. Thank you, Lord, today for your presence, God, that we can, Lord, that we can take in. Lord God, that is feeding us this morning. It's your presence, Lord God, that is, Lord, bringing such love, Lord, into this room. I thank you, God. I thank you this morning for all that you've done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.